was on his heart. It was on the heart of the Father to restore to you and to us that which was lost. To restore our life. To restore us. To give us back what was taken away. That you might be fulfilled in everything. This restore is a big deal. 3 weeks ago, I was getting ready for church here, and Jay Bunker was here, and I come in the church like I do, and I went in the back, and I turned on the lights, and as I'm turning on the lights over there for those banners, I just keep remembering, there's one light that's out, and it's right on that center banner, and I said, how come I can't seem to remember to put that light bulb in? And I was just kind of leaving the stage, and then I just said, Lord, is there something you're saying? And I just kind of left it at that. But the Lord was saying something that day. Jay Bunker started out his message in the last chapter of Jeremiah about Jehoiakim. I just want to read that again because now it came about in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th of the month. I like this guy's name, King of Babylon. That Evil Merodach, what a name, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, showed favor to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and brought him out of prison. That's a good thing, huh? He'd been brought out of prison. Then he spoke to him kindly and set his throne above all the thrones of the kings. Obviously, there was other kings that were held prisoner there in Babylon, who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed his prison clothes, had his meals with the king's presence regularly and all the days of his life, and for his allowance, a regular allowance was given to him by the king of Babylon, daily portion all the days of his life until the day of his death. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Like Jay Bunker said, it really sounds good except for one thing. He's still in Babylon. And he's still under house arrest. He's not really a free man. He's just being provided for. And N.J. Bunker said, I think that's a picture of the church today. We like the provision of God. We like to have everything that God has, all His promises and everything, but we really don't want to take the responsibility to really lay hold of all, to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. We don't want to lay hold of all of it. But the Lord wants you to lay hold of all of it. He doesn't want you to be short on anything. And I'm not sure why it is that we haven't quite grabbed hold of it. But it's even worse right now. You can't see on there, but when the light's on, you can barely see. But I have to go back just a little bit, give you a little history of that banner. Because that particular banner, we were making these banners. But that particular one, my wife Candy here was asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want on that banner? What do you want on that banner? Well, she got really excited because one morning she gets up and she says, the Lord gave me a dream, and I believe this is supposed to be on the banner. She starts telling me about this vision. It was more of a vision than a dream. And it was about these two trees. And there was oil coming out of two trees, and it was feeding one light in the middle. She said, all I saw was this bright light in the middle of these two trees. And I said, well, I think that's a vision right out of Zechariah. Because I'd read that. I mean, I recognized what she was saying. And so we started looking at that and looking at that. And of course, you read that and it says, in Zechariah, said, what are these two trees? Don't you know? He says, don't you know what these two trees are? And of course, he said, no, I don't. And he really never really specifically says what the two trees are. The closest he gets said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord day and night. So I call up Don Fotenhauer. How many of you know Don Fotenhauer? A few of you do. He was really instrumental in seeing this church when it was being birthed and brought us through some some tough times and helped us, you know. So we call Don, right? And we say, Don, explain to me, what are these two trees? In Zechariah chapter 4, he said, funny you would ask me that this morning, because that's what I was reading this morning, and I asked the Lord the same question. What are these two trees, Lord? And the Lord revealed to Don about Jesus being the king priest. Well, one of the messages I've given just recently is that we are priests of the order of Melchizedek, who was both king of Salem, which is translated king of righteousness, but he was also the priest. So he was a king and a priest, and we are of the order of Melchizedek. So if you look on those two trees, it'll say king and priest on there. So anyway, I realized that I've been really kind of blessed by the whole thing of the priesthood of Melchizedek. But there's more to it than just the priesthood of Melchizedek. There's the idea of reigning. 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 So Lord, I just ask that you help this morning, Lord, that we might grab hold of what you have for us. Lord, you have us in your mind and you want us to have all that you've accomplished for us, and that we would not be satisfied just with the provision, but also, Lord, we want the authority and the responsibility of being ambassadors for you, doing your work on this earth, having a good witness, having a testimony to overcome the devil. Lord, we need your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have had children. I know the Juttons have had a quiverful. And others have had lots of children. And parents, if you're just starting out with kids, I'm going to let you know that parents can end up sacrificing a lot for their kids if they love their kids. Okay, and you do. You end up... But kids, I didn't understand that growing up. I didn't know what my mom and dad were sacrificing so that we could have all that we had. I mean, they just didn't have much. But you know what the kids in Farwell said of the Thompson kids? And we got it all the time? Oh yeah, you guys, you're rich kids. You're rich kids. And I didn't know, I thought I was rich. Well, I found out later that my mom and dad didn't have anything. But we had, as kids, clean clothes. My dad always made us keep the yard just perfect, and everything looked like we were rich. And I didn't know any better. But it was really because mom and dad sacrificed. My mom finally was going to order, I don't know, it was just some little thing from Sears, and she gave it to my dad, And my dad said, I'll send that in. And of course, she waited and waited. Nothing came. Nothing came. Nothing came. Nothing came. Well, one day she was going to wash his clothes and his wallet came out, and sticking out of the wallet was this order. And he said, well, and she was waiting. She thought it was already ordered, but it never did get ordered. But we didn't know it. My mom and dad gave up a lot. Some don't understand, but most, when they grow up, have a more of an appreciation for what their parents have done as we grow up. Paul here is pressing in, wanting to lay hold of all that his Father in heaven gave up so that he could have. He's pressing on. He realizes that the Father in heaven has given him much, and he wants to have it all realized to him somehow. And I think we too must take our walk seriously, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of the calling we have in Christ Jesus. But I want you to give you some really good news. That all you have to do is agree with God. Because He's already, if you're a Christian, you put your faith in Jesus, God is already at work in you to both do and to will all that is pleasing in His sight. What we need to do as people of God is to let go and let God lose our power and look to His power. We need to see what He can do. Appreciated all the things that have come out this morning concerning that. So I want to just take a little look at Zechariah just for a little bit, and I have other things too here, but so it says, then he answered and said to me, this is Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now there was the high priest, there was Joshua the high priest, and there was Zerubbabel the governor, or what I would say represents the king. You got Zerubbabel and Joshua. And right in the midst of all this stuff, of the two olive trees which are flowing into the light, which I believe is the light of the world, which we are, the oil comes in. We can't do anything without the oil. We gotta have the oil to be the light. And the oil comes from the anointing. The anointing. The anointing of God. Saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's the thing that's on that banner. So I'm thinking, the church really needs to reign. And I said, well, kind of arrogant to think that we're kings. You know, and most people, especially of my heritage, the Swedes, we don't want to think too much of ourselves. We really like the scripture, don't think too highly of yourself. You know, but then we do it anyway. In secret ways. So,
we
You know, Sweden is the only country that doesn't want to take a stand on anything. We'll just be neutral. Neutral on everything. But this whole idea of the kingship of Melchizedek, Jesus set us free from the evil one. But when the Son sets you free, you're not under house arrest by the evil one. You're free from the evil one. He really does set you totally free. We need to have the mentality in the church that we are no longer under the power and the authority of the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Are you free? Well, we need to keep going on that. We need to keep going on that. So, I have been toying with this verse. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. Now, there's a couple words that I want you to get a hold of. The word accustomed. What does it mean to be accustomed to something? And I want you to know that there is a word of righteousness for you that you need to know completely about, and you need to have grabbed hold of that, and it should be something that's ordinary everyday life for you so that we can move on from this. You know, I think, you know, if my grandkids now, they're 13 and 11 and 7, if any one of them came up to the dinner table with a bottle, I would take it away. Even without permission from their mom or daughter or their dad, I would say, no, that'll cut it. But in Christianity, I think we have a bunch of people who are very satisfied with the bottle. Well, that's enough said there. Back to this. So the warning that we might be born again, but not growing up. That we might be born again, but not growing up. As an admonition that we should become accustomed to the word of righteousness. This word accustomed, I just have some synonyms. Synonyms for accustomed. So this word of righteousness should be like this. It should be customary, usual, normal, habitual, regular, routine, ordinary, typical, traditional, established, common, or just general. That's how the word of righteousness should be to everyone who is born again. And that will enable you to move on. But without that, you're stuck. You're stuck. And you will be stuck unless you grab on to the word of righteousness. Press on. Not accustomed to milk. Don't let that be your custom. But let righteousness be your custom. I robbed a little illustration here off the internet. I thought was a kind of a visual here that could help us. Three imputations, impartations or imputations. The first one was Adam's sin to man. Okay? When he sinned, all sinned. You don't get out of it because you're good. You get it because he was bad. And there's nothing you can do about it. Sorry, you get blamed. You get blamed for everything. And there is no excuse. You can't come up and say, well, we didn't. Like in Sunday school, the Jews, well, if we would have been alive, we wouldn't have done that. Sorry. We're all guilty. It just got given to us. It's like, our looks. You can't change them, you know. So anyway, you know, I was born for radio. Someone told me that. He said, you have a face for radio. But notice now, in this illustration, that there's many, many who are sinning. And the many ends up transferring all their sin to Jesus on the cross. And then Jesus imparts or brings about righteousness to all who believe on Him. Righteousness. Now, if you don't get this, that last thing there, from Jesus to man, that's a gift. That's a gift. That's just something Jesus gave you. A gift. He didn't earn it. He didn't ask for it. He just gave it to you. A free gift. Free. You can't pay for it. If you try to pay for it, if someone gave you a gift and then they try to, you know, you get a birthday gift and they take out their wallet and they say, let me pay you for that. That don't cut it. So all your good works that you think you've done to make yourself righteous doesn't cut it. In fact, it's kind of like a slap in the face to Jesus, saying, I want to pay for that. Well, there's something in every one of us that needs to die concerning our pride and our ability to do anything to be righteous. It's a gift. It's a gift. You've been given the gift of righteousness. A gift. Suppose someone gave you a gift. Thank you so much. And you bring it and you set it in your room. And you say to yourself, I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm glad you gave it to me, but I really don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not even going to open it up. Or, I really don't deserve that gift, so I'm not going to mess with it. Have you really received that gift? Or did you just take it from that hand to this hand? To receive the gift, you have to open it up and experience it. You have to use it. You have to believe it. And I'm thinking, there are a few at least, who have not opened up the gift of righteousness since you've received it. Since it's been given to you, you haven't really opened that up yet. And you're probably still trying to work it out with God. You're still under condemnation, even though the Scripture says there is no condemnation. But, Lord, I'm just a worthless sinner. Well, that's not the truth. In fact, if the Scripture's true, it says this: God made him who knew no sin to become sin on your behalf, my behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. That's what Jesus has done for us. Romans 5:15. I don't have a slide for it, I don't think. Oh, maybe, no, part of it I do. But I'm going to read the whole thing. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, you see that one man over there, Adam, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, to abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one in sin, for on the one hand, judgment arose from the one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions, resulting in justification. Now, I'm going to focus on the last part here, so listen up. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned. Get to hear the word? Reigned. That word reigned is the same that if you look up the word reign, there's really only a couple definitions. It's about being a king. It's about ruling. It's about royalty. Your reign. Death reigned through the one, much more. Now, there's some things here. See if you can pick them out as I read them. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Will reign in life. But the qualifications are there. You need an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It doesn't say the abundance of grace and be righteous. Which it could say that, but you may get construed. But it says the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. You got to have them. You got to have them. It says, notice this now, it says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness. I'm telling you right now, the gift of righteousness is as sure as, it's, God cannot lie. The gift of righteousness is a sure deal. But not everybody has received it. The abundance of grace is a sure deal. But not everybody walks in the abundance of grace. And that's why I think that that could hold us from maturing up in the Lord. It could hold us from being all that God wants us to be. So I do have that up there. Reigning is a verb. You reign. You can be a king and not reign. Just like the king of Judah. He was no longer reigning anything. Well, over a few kings. but it wasn't what he was called out to be. Reigning is not a title. Reigning is holding a royal office as a rule of a king or a queen. And in this, we're talking about two different kingdoms. We're talking about two different kingdoms here. We're talking about the kingdom you were in. What reigns in the kingdom you were in? What reigns in the kingdom of darkness? Death reigns. Death reigns. What reigns in the kingdom of light? You reign in life with Christ Jesus through Him. You get to reign in life. Well, Kathy and others have given testimony about how easy it is to stop reigning. To stop and come under whatever, instead of knowing and reigning in life. So the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Both of them are gifts. Not something you earn, not something you deserve. The very fact of grace is unmerited favor. But listen now. Mark chapter 11. Whatever you stand and ask for, believe that you have received and you shall have them. The way things come to us in the kingdom of God is by faith, and faith alone. There'll come a day, like we were in Sunday school today, there's coming a day when everything will be manifested the way it really is. But today, we live by faith and not by sight. So first of all, you have to believe that there is this gift of righteousness that's been given to you, and also believe that there's an abundance of grace given to you. And then by faith, it becomes real to you. It says truth and grace were realized. Realized, made real in Christ Jesus. Why? Time flies when you're having fun. Abundant grace. Abundant grace. If you go to the store and you're going to buy something worth $100 and you walk in with $75, you have insufficient money. If you walk into the store buying something for $100 and you have $100, you have sufficient money. If you walk into the store with $1,000 and you're buying something for $100, you have an abundance. Okay? When it's talking abundance, there's more grace for you than you need. That's what an abundant grace is. You have more grace than you can ever use. You can spend all the grace you want and you'll still have more. There's no end to the grace of God. It's abundant. Get it? All right. Because if you don't get it, I'll keep preaching until you do. Mel Tillis was selling Bibles as a young man. And he sold more Bibles than anybody else because he'd go up and Mel Tillis stuttered except when he sang. So he'd sell the Bible and And he said, would you like to buy this Bible, or do you want me to read it to you? How much? Now, I want to convince you that you have favor with God. And I can do it very quickly. Does Jesus have favor with the Father? Is there any question that Jesus has favor with the Father? Well, I'm telling you, when you were born again, Jesus moved in with you, and your life is now hid with Him in God. Jesus came into your life, and you are no longer who you were. You died. My life is hid with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Whose favor is it? You have favor because you belong to Jesus. You're in Him. Now, if you can grab on to the grace that comes from that, you got something. If you can really believe that you're in Christ, and Christ is in God, where does that put you? Just a little. You know, if your grandson's in your boat, and your boat's in Lake Bemidji, is your grandson in Lake Bemidji? Yes. If you're in Christ and Christ is in God, that means that you are not only have favor, you're already in. You've been counted in. That should settle everybody's belonging. You don't need to belong to anything else in this whole world except Him. That's who you belong to. You don't belong to some church organization. You don't belong to anything else. And if you get more satisfaction belonging to something else, there's something wrong. It needs to be corrected. Our satisfaction for belonging needs to be in Christ. That's the satisfaction that we have. I got more, but I'll just skip it. Gift of righteousness. I gotta cover these a little bit. Righteousness. The ultimate right thing to do in every occasion. Righteousness is the ultimate right thing to do in every occasion according to God's standard. That's righteousness. It said He'll send, in Isaiah 32, it says, He'll send a king who rules in righteousness. That's because He only does what the Father says. You have a gift of righteousness. That means you have a right standing with God. You have a right relationship with God. And you can hear from God. Everyone in this room who's born again can hear from God. Believe it, and let Him direct your life. The righteousness that comes from God. So the question is this. Are you reigning in life, or are your circumstances reigning? If you have an abundant grace, if you know that God's for you 100% of the time, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I will always be there for you. You can count on me all the time, all the time. But I've sinned, I've done something, I don't care. He's there all the time because He reconciled you to the Father, not holding your sins against you. And if you say, well, yeah, but that was my That was my past sins, not my future. I tell you, when he said that, all your sins were future. You hadn't done anything yet. You weren't even born. When he reconciled you to the Father, he reconciled you concerning all future sins. So don't let that be a hang-up. I belong to the most royal family of all. I was just listening to the royal family, and they speak of this little child as the future king. I'm telling you, you're in that lineage in Christ. But you get to reign with him. And we get to reign today in life. I'll stop with this verse here, but for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. Okay, you can believe that, right? But what about the next sentence? And with the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. I'm telling you, I see a church believing, but I don't see a church confessing much. We keep our lips to ourselves. We like to be private about my faith. Well, I'm telling you, the victory comes, the salvation comes when you start proclaiming the truth of God. Proclaiming that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Proclaiming that God loves me all the time. Every time I go through something, it will, not maybe, it will work for my good. There's no choice. It has to. Because God does not lie. It has to work out for you. You will not fail. You will not be disappointed. I can say that from the bottom of my heart. It will always work out for you because you're a child of God. If you know that, you can reign and you can be the king. You can act with the authority. You can say, it works out for me because my daddy sees it that way. He'll always make it work out for me. You can reign, but you got to know the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Lord, I pray that we can grab hold of all that you grabbed hold of for us through the cross, that when you died, I died. When you came up out of the tomb, you made way for me to have eternal life. You made way for me to be placed in you, in God. We're seated with you in heavenly places. That we are your children. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that you gave us grace. And you said, my grace is always sufficient for you. That's because his grace is Jesus himself in you. You can't fail. With Christ, you can do all things. Lord, I pray, help us to be a body that rises up and matures in you, that we can be all that you made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.